Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, speaker and friendship expert Shasta Nelson provides the blueprint for nurturing sincere, intimate friendships. And Wendy Paris offers tips on how to avoid dueling lawyers and acrimony in the divorce court in her new book, Splitopia, Dispatches from Today's Good Divorce. Tune in Monday at noon Pacific time right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, and catch up with podcasts at conversationslive.com.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour. Well, we're starting a little late of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com, just like it sounds, N-O-R-W-A-L-K, Martha Norwalk. .com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website and bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And we are, you know, in the middle of Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And I am delighted to connect again because it's, boy, how long has it been? It's been... Oh, well, I think when Nick and I were talking out at the Northwest Stream Center, I figured it might have been about 7 years or so because his Curly and Bear dog is about 7 years old. So it's been a while since we've had the Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Curly and Bear Dog program on the show. So all our listeners that have joined us since then,
don't know anything about this. So with all the, it's spring, the bears seem to be, everybody's waking up early and stuff is happening. I am just delighted to welcome back to Animal World law enforcement officer from the department, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, Nick George. And I hope I didn't crucify your last name. But anyway, Gordon and Nick, welcome back to Animal World.
Thanks, Martha. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, and tell me, remind me, how do I pronounce your name correctly?
Oh, the J sounds like a Y, so it's Jorg.
Jorg, yeah, Nick Jorg. Boy, how you've been with the Department of Fish and Wildlife as part of the law enforcement program for how many years?
Getting close to 15, I believe.
Wow. And I would imagine that there are a number of officers as part of the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And do you each have, like, territories that you work and so forth?
We do traditionally have our own districts for most land-based officers, but we also, we float around and we end up covering anywhere in the state when needed. So those boundaries are pretty loose and flexible. We have so few staff that we need to be flexible and be able to move around and go anywhere at any time. So
okay.
That's kind of the way we work.
Well, so sir, for anybody who doesn't know, what do you guys do?
Well, as fish and wildlife officers, our primary goal is natural resource law enforcement and fish and wildlife law enforcement to protect and perpetuate fish and wildlife populations and help manage them in a organized manner. And we also work to protect habitat and enforce natural resource law to protect habitat of fish and wildlife also. But we also do general law enforcement. We're full commissioned law enforcement officers, and most of us hold 2 federal commissions also. So we'll end up at times doing general crimes such as domestic violence call, especially if it's out in a remote area and we're the only one close, or
sometimes
we have to deal with traffic incidents. Of course, it's hard to get away from some illegal drug issues every now and then. We get drawn into all sorts of things, and even homeland security issues. We do a really wide variety of types of law enforcement.
Wow, I just learned something. I didn't have any idea. So you guys, you're really official, like, you know, police type energy sort of.
We most definitely are. You know, we like to focus on our core mission, but sometimes if you catch a poacher, a lot of times if they're willing to poach, they're also involved, and you discover lots of other crimes while you're dealing with them for that. So you have to deal with the whole package.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Now, the primary focus that we've always done here on Animal World has you know, related to, you know, wildlife management. I guess would be maybe the best way to describe it. But particularly, you know, bears and cougar and their interaction with humans and neighborhoods and that sort of thing. Because if you know, someone has, you know, bears showing up where they, you know, in their yard, or they're running around neighborhoods, which, you know, every once in a while, they, bear or cougar, end up in strange places. I mean, you are the guys that come in to deal with that stuff, right?
That's right. Yep. And especially as being all fish and wildlife officers tend to deal with that to some extent, but being part of the Carilion Bear Dog team, we really, that's our a real focus point for us, and we are kind of take lead on those issues.
Yeah, now let's go by I want to spend some time talking about specifically the Carilion Bear Dog Program. Do you know, I mean, how many years this has been in existence now?
Well,
I was kind of thinking, do you know how old Mishka is? She was the first one.
Yeah, Mishka, they're all boys. Mishka was the first bear dog to be brought in by Rocky Spencer originally, one of our biologists. And Mishka is, I believe, 13 years old and retired now.
Wow, so, Mishka's that old?
I believe so. I think I've got that right. But
yeah, because, you know, I mean, for our long-time listeners, they'll remember, but Rocky Spencer, bless his heart, it was my contact with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and I actually started doing shows with him here on Animal World before he got Mishka. And,
oh,
and
wow.
that was what started my relationship with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, because Rocky had come up with this great idea to help in, you know, wildlife management, because back before the Carilion Bear Dog program existed, there wasn't really easy to deal with these, you know, the bears that showed up in places where they weren't welcome, and there was a lot of trapping and then trying to relocate them. And as you kind of explained in the program you did at Northwest Stream Center that I attended recently, it isn't such a good idea. We always thought, well, you trap these bears that, you know, end up in neighborhoods where they're not wanted, and then you just take them out and let them go someplace out in the wilderness. But that didn't work so well, does it?
No, it really tends not to. In some cases, it can work, but it's the rarity. We try to avoid it now, like kind of the old school method of dealing with bears.
Yeah, because when you take them, you're often they're younger or adolescent bears but whatever, you take them and try to release them somewhere else. You release them into other bear territory where they aren't necessarily welcome there either.
That's right. They're going to be into another bear's territory if it's good bear habitat, most likely. They may be running for their lives just from that bear, or trying to get back to the next village or settlement or the exact place where you caught them, because they were making a living and being trained by humans. Usually almost every case with anything we get involved with directly with a bear-human conflict is because humans were allowing a bear to feed. So that bear thinks it's one of our pets, and we've trained it to behave the way it has been. So you take it away from that food source and that way of life, and you put it into a completely different world. It would be like putting, say, maybe one of us into a foreign country with a language we don't speak. We're not going to be very, very comfortable or very happy there, let alone that poor bear is running for its life from a dominant bear in that territory, possibly. And, you know, a lot of these bears, if they made it back to a village or something, they'll get up into the same habits, because that's what they were trained to do by people. And unfortunately, they're likely to find food sources left out by other folks in these areas. So, but a lot of them would end up, if they weren't maybe killed by a bear, a lot of them could be killed by in vehicle accidents. With all of our highways and our busy traffic in the state, they're kind of running scared and looking over their shoulder, and they seem to end up crossing a highway and get hit by a car. So there's a lot of negatives to that, but we have, in some really urban situations, we still do with young juvenile bears. Sometimes if they're in a real urban setting, you know, west of 405, Interstate 405 or I-5, sometimes they're just not suitable to do a release on site and retrain the bear there. It's just too urban. So we will relocate some of those, and if we do it right and careful and there's not too many of them, we've had some moderate success there, but we've really had to monitor ourselves a lot more closely to make sure we're doing a better job for the bears.
So that brings me back to my story of, you know, shows with Rocky Spencer. Rocky came on the show the first time because I think he, if I remember his story correctly, you know, he discovered, you know, Carilion bear dogs and how they could be used with, you know, Department of Fish and Wildlife officers to help retrain bears and teach better bear behavior. Or modify their behavior, and he wanted to get one, you know, and he was, I think his main interest was cougar. He thought it would help with that too. But we did some fundraising, tried to get the money so that he could purchase Mishka, and then Mishka was here in the studio with us as, you know, a young pup. And we kind of followed that story, and then I think we had was it Rich Beausoleil? He would come over from Wenatchee and bring his dog Cash when the second one was added to the program. And then I believe, Nick, you were even in the studio with us with your dog Coulter when he was a young pup. I think you and Coulter was the youngest pup we had in the studio.
And you say
he's Coulter. 7 years old now, right?
Yep, he was 7 in November.
Wow.
And so, yep. So Rocky and Rich, they both kind of pioneered the of getting the dogs in the state at first, and were we're kind of just trying to get this program or get some acceptance and get some utility out of these dogs. Coulter is the first official program dog, and he's the first Karelian bear dog in the United States to spend his entire career with a game warden or fish and wildlife officer.
So,
Coulter's the beginning of the official program, but Cash and Mishka blazed the trail and kind of laid some groundwork to prove that there was some promise in this program.
So at this point now, with Mishka being about 13 and retiring, and boy, your Coulter's 7 years old now, how many Karelian bear dogs are officially working with our Department of Fish and Wildlife these days?
Well, we have 6 dogs on our team that are still actively in service, with the exception of Coulter, is still recovering from a pretty bad leg injury. He had a couple surgeries. You saw him at the Stream Center, and he was kind of limping around still a little bit. So hopefully in a few weeks, I'm crossing our fingers that he can return to full duty.
Excellent. So,
but, yeah, we have 6 right now, but we have Cash is a couple of years older than Coulter and Coulter's brother, Sabu. So, and Sabu and Coulter are kind of on the top end of their prime years. They still have a few good working years left, but Cash is getting up there and starting to slow down a little bit too, and we noticed Sabu and Coulter are slowing a little bit themselves. So these dogs, they love their work, and it's so rewarding to work with them, and they're just dying to get into the truck and go with us and catch another bear or catch another mountain lion and retrain it and put their lives on the line for us every time. And it's so fun to see that and work with them directly. But as you can imagine, they take some pretty hard miles they put on these poor dogs.
Yeah.
So, but there's no way to stop them or slow them down. That's what they live for. So it's a real fun partnership.
And I think it's safe to say that this Karelian Bear Dog program with our Department of Fish and Wildlife has been extremely successful in terms of the work you're doing and training bears and that sort of thing. We've got to take care of our advertisers and sponsors, Nick, for the first time in this hour. But when we continue, I want to talk more about the Karelian Bear Dog Program, and I want you to explain to everybody what a difference this has made and what these dogs actually do and what's involved in the retraining of the bears and that sort of thing. And then the big thing that y'all need to know about listening to us here is that these dogs are specifically bred for this kind of work, and they're pretty pricey. When you buy, you have to purchase these dogs, and the bottom line here is that there is no state funding, no Department of Fish and Wildlife funding, no taxpayer money, nothing goes in to paying for these dogs. This whole Karelian Bear Dog program and all of these dogs are completely supported by public donation. Is that not correct, Nick?
That is correct.
Yeah, so we're going to first help you understand how important these dogs are to the welfare of our wildlife in this state and what a difference they've made in the management and so forth. And then because there is such a cost involved with these dogs, we really need you to help spread the word and help generate some funds to keep this program going, because these dogs, like Nick said, they work their hearts out, and a lot of the dogs have been working so long that they're working towards retirement, and of course then new ones come in, and of course I'm sure you want to add more dogs to the program in the state. So we're going to tell you all about fundraising and how you can help, and then we're gonna talk about what you guys need to know about bear and cougar and getting out there hiking in these trails so we don't have any more disasters like the last two that have happened recently with people thinking they've been threatened by bears when they're hiking in trails, and then they've run off in the woods and gotten lost, and then they have to be rescued. So we got a lot of work to do. So I want everybody to stay right where you are. Nick's going to hold on. We'll take care of our advertisers and sponsors, because without them, we can't do this kind of programming. So listen, pay attention, support them. Stay right where you are. Back with Nick York straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
On Friday, Manson Mitchell are pleased to present a special series with Kelly Sullivan Walden, host of Dreams Unzipped.
On Saturday, Christine Hassler talks about the cure for an expectation hangover. Very sage advice about handling life's disappointments.
In hour number two, once again, we play DJs for a Day with some of your favorite music.
Bringing you fascinating talk since 2007 and sometimes a little music, we are Manson Mitchell, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Ever wonder what your pet is thinking? Why they do certain things? Or how they're adapting to a change in the household? Darcy Pariso, animal intuitive medium and Reiki master, can help you with all of those things. Darcy can help you connect with your pet or other animal, here or in spirit. She'll also share messages including your pet's past lives and soul purpose. Clients say Darcy's readings are so much more than they expected and result in a deeper bond with her pets. Contact Darcy at DarcyPariso.com. That's Darcy Pariso, P-A-R-I-S-O.com. Or call 425-280-5132. Have you heard about energy balancing for animals? Elite master of the bioenergetic synchronization technique, Nels Rasmussen, has been creating transformations in health, mobility, and athletic performance in dogs, cats, and horses for over 30 years. To learn more, you can visit online, NelsHealingMinistry.com, or call 425-238-2668. That's 425-238-2668.
Conscious living for conscious people. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and I want to thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It's Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And a big help to our wild animal friends would be the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. And we've got Officer Nick York with us here on the air, and he is part of the Carilion Bear Dog Team. Good morning again, Nick.
Good morning, Martha.
And so why don't you give us a lowdown on what these Carilion Bear Dogs do and how do they help you with the management of bear and cougar and that sort of stuff?
Okay, yeah, if you don't mind, I'd like to kind of explain a little of the background of the meaningfulness of the program and the reason we do use these dogs.
Exactly, that's what I want to hear.
Right. So there's a core group of us, and Rocky Spencer, Rich Beausoleil, myself, Bruce Richards, and a few others. We recognize what the bears in the state really are with working with them so much. So our American black bears that live here in the state they're big-brained, long-lived species. They're highly intelligent. They have intelligence levels that rival some of the great apes.
Really?
Other ones that, you know, which were one of the great apes. So they...
Now, that's really significant, Nick, because I don't think anybody realizes what that means. I mean, great apes, they're really, really intelligent and you know, close to human intelligence.
Yeah, it's really impressive. And so, and they take care of their young for long periods of time, their diets. They look like us in a lot of ways, especially once you get that fur coat off them. Unfortunately, in our position, we have to do that for different reasons, for poaching and necropsies and such. They're very cognitive. You can teach an American black bear to count. They can use tools.
To count? Wow.
Yeah, so they're... And so a lot of times where we're forced into, we've been forced into in the past, is... essentially relocating, which sometimes is a turned out to be a drawn out inhumane way of euthanasia.
Yeah.
Or we just flat out had to euthanize a lot of these bears. And just to give you an example from my part of this equation, before I had Coulter, my bear dog, I probably euthanized 10 to 12 bears a year on average.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
And when you're doing that, Martha, these bears are, some of them, they're literally cognitive and trying to communicate with you, some of them.
Oh, that must have broke your heart.
It was, and for those of us that really love the wildlife and our jobs, it's stuff that wakes you up in the middle of the night. It's really bothersome. It adds up and causes a lot of personal heartache and stress for us as game wardens. So,
I mean, I'm tearing up right now, Nick, just feeling the energy of that. I mean,
yeah,
10 to 12 bears a year you had to kill?
Yeah, that's probably a rough average.
Wow.
But those of us that really care about, and Rocky and Rich and Bruce and I and a few others, that's one thing that we really worked hard towards, and I was lucky enough to get in on the early end of this team and help build that up. But we had to find a better way of doing business. And so just for an example, to make a long story short, because I could talk about this all day, but before I had Coulter, I killed all those bears every year and not happy about it. But since I've had Coulter, in the last over 7 years of working with them, actually working with bears, I've only had to euthanize 2 bears.
Wow.
Versus 10 to 12 every year. So
wow.
He's just really made my world so much more positive, and the interactions between wildlife and the communities that we work in, I can't even begin to explain the win-win for everybody involved, including the animals.
You know, so everybody listening, all of you animals lovers out there, and we care so much about them, this is a way we can really help, is supporting this program. So explain to us, if you will, why have the Carilion bear dogs made a difference, and why don't you have to euthanize all these bears anymore? What do you do now with them that you couldn't do before?
Well, yeah, bears are great. They also do a lot of neat work, and they've saved a lot of mountain lions and other orphan wildlife. But with the bears specifically, their primary job is that, since bears are so intelligent, and essentially I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of bears over my career, and I've never met a bad bear. and we always hear these terms, and we don't, in the Carilion bear dog team at least, we don't use these terms anymore, such as problem bear.
Uh-huh.
I've never met a problem bear. It's always a bear that's been trained a lot of times by our own laziness as people, leaving food sources out, or sometimes intentionally feeding bears, and we essentially train them to come to that food source and associate that food source with people or people things. And so that needs to be cleaned up. And in the great state of Washington, it is against the law now to allow a bear access to an unnatural food source.
So it's illegal. So that means, like, if you live in an area where that's bear habitat, you need to be responsible with, like, your garbage and so forth. You can't just leave it out.
Right. And so a couple of the big things that kill bears is garbage, bird feed, sometimes even fruit trees. And so I know a lot of us love to feed birds,
mm-hmm.
and that we just can't allow access to that bird seed. But there are ways to prevent a bear access to those food sources and continue to reap the benefits of what we love to do in feeding birds and seeing them around and such. But you're only limited by your creativity of what you do for those to prevent that bear to have access and be able to continue as people to enjoy those activities.
Well, I'm encouraging all listeners to get to the All About Bears program whenever you do that again at the Northwest Stream Center, because you showed some remarkable slides of how creative bears are in getting to bird feeders and so forth. So you
right.
really have to be creative in setting that up. But it always kind of bothers me, because us humans going out, and we're the ones that move into the bear and cougar territory and build our homes, and then we get upset you know, when the bears or the cougars end up in our backyards. And a lot of it is because we do things that bring them in. But I want to make sure I'm remembering this fact correctly, Nick, because I remember you saying that bear have an incredible sense of smell. And I think you said they could smell suet and bird feed seed from a mile away. Am I remembering that correctly?
Under the right conditions, yes. A bear's nose is some factor of 10 or more better than the best dog's nose ever that we, you know, best bloodhound or anything else. So a bear can smell far better than a dog can.
Yeah, so I think, Kathy, I think you're a little concerned. Bird seed doesn't save bears. It kills them. When you're putting the bird seed and the feeders out, and the bears can then, right, Nick, they can, under the right conditions, they can smell it from up to a mile away. They come in to eat the bird seed and feed, and then we get scared and upset and call, you know, Nick and say, get rid of these bears.
Well, my
question.
Okay, so Kathy, what were your questions?
Well, my question is, how does the bird seed and these other foods cause problems for the bears? I mean, kill bears.
Well, it kills them because when the bears habitually start coming to the human environment to go after the bird seed, and then the humans get scared and want to shoot the bears it's the cycle of the humans leaving garbage out or bird feed and so forth, right, Nick, that attracts the bears in, and then the bears get in trouble.
Right, it's human food conditioning, and which leads to habituation. So our black bears are incredibly safe animals to live with in our communities, as long as we don't feed them. If you feed a black bear, eventually you can make it dangerous into a situation where it could be dangerous, because they're so expectant on more food, and they almost see themselves as being our pets in some ways. Then you think about a garbage can, for instance. You put a garbage can full of a bunch of calories outside, your leftovers, and the bear comes and feeds in it and makes a mess, but then you pick it all up and get it, you take it away, or the refuse company takes it away, but then you fill it back up again and you put it right back in the same place, just like a dog food dish, and you do this over and over again, and the bear thinks, wow, these people love me. They just keep filling this receptacle up with food and calories that I need, you know, on a weekly or daily basis. These people are great. I don't see why they yell at me or they act weird sometimes, but they just keep feeding me, so I'm going to keep coming here. In fact, I'm going to go to their neighbor's house now, too, because I'm starting to like people more and more.
Yeah, and I wonder if this is probably correlates. As an animal behavior therapist and working with a lot of dogs, a random food reward is the strongest way of strengthening canine behavior. So I would imagine that's probably the same with bears. So if they come to an area where humans are and they find food from time to time, even if the food isn't there for a while and then it's there again and they find it, it's always worth them coming to check, because it might be the time where there's available food.
Right, Martha. And we find these bears are so intelligent, and they almost have a digital calendar on board, too. If they were fed with a really good food source, say a bunch of leftover smoked oysters in your garbage can or something, and it was on July 2nd at 3 a.m. when they were able to get access to it, and they'll be back on July 2nd the next year to check for it again.
Wow.
It's incredible what their abilities are. They just never cease to amaze me.
Well, but we know about dogs that their inner time clocks are accurate to within 30 seconds and 24 hours. And it certainly sounds from what you're saying, if bears are on the level with great apes intelligence-wise, they're way more intelligent than dogs.
Yeah, they're pretty impressive.
Okay, so what are the Carilion bear dogs? How did that euthanasia rate go down? And instead of having to kill maybe 10 to 12 bears a year, it's only been 2 bears in the last 7 years. What difference do the bear dogs make?
So the nice thing about the bears is they are so cognitive and so intelligent, and their ability to learn, like we've been discussing, is so great that. And the Carilion bear dogs are really good at teaching boundaries They've been used to teach boundaries and capture for essentially they're an ancient big game hunting dog. They've been used to hunt grizzly bear and moose for centuries. So, and by doing that, they would bay these animals up and hold them in areas for a long enough time. For instance, such as a moose, and the hunters would allow them to continue working that moose and holding it in a single spot long enough that the moose no longer thought it could leave that area. So you can imagine in a more primitive time before firearms, a hunter could go up and just walk right up close to that moose without running off now and just spear the animal or use a club or whatever they did back then. So these dogs are really good at capture work and pushing and teaching these boundaries. So we kind of break that capture work down a little bit in the dogs, and we use them to push and push out of, say, a neighborhood and push the bear into a green belt. And the dogs essentially are a great tool to apply a lot of pain and stress to the bear. And with that and some other techniques that we can go into more if we have time later, but that pain and stress, it's a kind of a tough love situation, and it almost borders on the inhumane side of things, but it's the best chance we have of getting that bear to survive and maintain its territory. So we can use these dogs. These Karelians are so smart, and unlike some other hunting dogs, we can push these bears with the dogs exactly where we want them to go, and if they don't go right there, the dogs will get up right on them, or a single dog. A lot of times we'll do this with just one dog, such as Coulter. Coulter will get right up, and he'll latch onto that bear at opportune times and give him some more pain and bark and fear. And so as soon as that bear gets into that green belt, say, or a timberline or a forest edge, where we're more happy about him being in his territory, then I can call Coulter off. I can give him the command to stop, and that bear instantly has no more stress, and he feels that instant sense of relief. You know, and I think you can probably relate to training dogs in that same way. This is just a little more severe and extreme, short duration.
Yeah, and this, I think, truly is a situation where the end justifies the means. It might appear cruel to someone, but you really are causing any serious harm to these bears, but you do make it very unpleasant for them to be in the area where we don't want them.
We definitely have to make it a pretty extreme, because we don't have that, you know, that ability to have that repetition of training, such as with a domestic dog.
Right.
Most oftentimes we only get one session with the bear. Sometimes we'll have the chance for a second session, but more often than not, we're actually successful with one session training them with the Karelian bear dogs and with the other techniques we use along with the dogs.
And it's often a situation, isn't it, where a bear has been in, you know, an urban environment or something and had to be tranquilized or trapped. And then when the bear recovers and is in the trap and then you go to release them back into the wild, that's where the tough love comes in. Because that's where, you know, you're making lots of noise and shooting off rounds, and the bear dogs bark and harass the bears and chase them out and convince the bears, very convincingly, that this is not an area that you want to come back to. And like
right,
you said, then you call them off when they're back in the forest where they belong.
Yep, we apply that pressure and stress, and then that, you know, like our goal is to be able to have that command where we can just give that bear instant complete relief from that stress, and so it can stop and reflect on what just happened and where it happened and how. And so we also hold those bears. So if a bear was feeding at, say, your front porch in a garbage can or a bird feeder, I'll try to catch that bear as close to your front porch as I can, right where that conflict and that feeding situation was occurring. And so now then you have to, on the other end, if it's at your front porch, you have to clean up and no longer have that food source out there.
Right.
But then I'll also, if I can, I'll hold that bear there for as long as I can, as long as I can keep him healthy. So that bear has been trained by us to come back to that front porch for that food reward. And that's all it's been thinking is, boy, I just want to get back to that front porch because I want another, you know, half of a leftover pizza or whatever's been left there. And so what we're doing is we're flipping the psychology around where the bear's now thinking, if I could just get away from this front porch, because now I'm stuck here and it's terrible. And
so you really motivate him to want to get away from that area.
Right, exactly. And we put just an incredible amount of fear and stress into him in that short duration, and then push him out and then give him instant relief. And it's amazing how effective this system is with the Karelian bear dogs.
And I think you guys have been at this for so many years now that you know that this works, that don't you? That these bears then don't tend to come back. They're smart enough that they learn from these tough love experiences not to come back and mess with humans, so to speak.
Yeah, we actually have we've kind of always known within our KVD team that it definitely works more often than not. Of course, that was somewhat anecdotal, but thanks to Rich Bosley and a lot of the work he's been doing, he actually has some statistically peer-reviewed articles, research work on our system with these Karelian bear dogs, and he's proven that it statistically works also. So on a scientific level, that we're definitely more often than not we're successful.
Yeah, and I just want to say, you know, again, as a canine behavior therapist and so forth, I am so impressed with the integrity of these Karelian bear dogs. I mean, they have not been bred to be pets and, you know, all over the place, and these dogs are really sound temperamentally. They are, you know, when the guys like at the Northwest Dream Center, and you've got a room full of people, and you're doing a big presentation. Well, these bear dogs are just cruising around the room and visiting with everybody, and they're calm and they're well behaved and they're super friendly and laid back. And you just would never imagine that these dogs are, you know, go after bear. But they really are phenomenal dogs. And I'm looking forward to, Nick, when we can, because I think we're going to kind of repeat history, and I think it's time to for us to do an entire show with and have you guys come in with some of your dogs. And Kathy's saying, yeah, because I don't think she was around when we did this before. We really need to start supporting this program again and get regular donations coming in, because we need more Karelian bear dogs with our Department of Fish and Wildlife, and we need people more educated, because you can tell, when you're listening to Nick, can you feel how much he loves these bears and the cougar and the animals? So we've got to take a quick time out to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. But then when we come back, Nick, I want you to tell us what we need to know about, if we're hikers out in the woods, what do we need to know about bear and cougar, the do's and the don'ts, and then we'll give you some fundraising information and promise a comeback. Well, we'll get everybody back in the studio and do a whole show with you guys. So anyway, stay right where you are, everybody. Animal World continues. More about, I would say, lions, tigers, and bears, oh boy, but how about mountain lion and bear, oh boy? Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including T-Touch, aromatherapy, and manual ligament therapy, plus massage for canines and small and large animal certification. Visit online at nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703. Or check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage on Facebook.
Here's a thought to consider from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's ANANDA Washington.org.
Hey, did you know, even if you feed the highest quality all-natural food to your animal friends, even if you home cook, The ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen. That begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. Well, that's why the missing link was created. They start with human-grade, all-whole natural raw food sources, perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. Comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it, mix up your animal friend's food, add in some missing links, stir in a little cool water to mix it up, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balance of omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. Missing link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats. And there is a missing link formula for all of our animal friends. There are 3 formulas for dogs, 1 for cats, 1 for birds, 1 for poultry. There's a wellness blend you can feed dogs and cats and all kinds of little house critters. There's even a horse formula. So ask for the missing link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies or go directly to the company at www.missinglinkproducts.com or call them at 1-800-774-7387.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Get a grip on life with Alternative Talk 1150.
I'm Martha Norwalk, and unfortunately we're on the downside of the second hour of this edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We're talking to Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife Officer Nick Yorg. He is one of the Carilion Bear Dog handlers with the department and is teaching us what we need to know. So, Nick, tell us, what do we need to know for all of us Northwesterners are getting out in the forest these days and hiking trails and wandering around? What do we need to know about bear? And cougar for that matter, you know, mountain lions. But what do we need to know about bears?
Right. So bear and cougar, one of the great things that you can take home at the beginning of this is that bear and cougar in Washington State are really, really safe to be in the woods with.
Oh, really?
So that's one benefit. There's some common sense things that we need to do and be responsible as humans in the woods with them to really make that almost a completely risk-free environment. But they're really safe animals to be with, and it's a fantastic opportunity if you get to see one, or to be in the woods and just have these really large, neat, you know, top of the chain, food chain animals in the woods with you. It just makes it feel like a real wild place still, and you can appreciate the wildness and our beautiful state and the scenery that goes along with it.
And yeah, I think you said in the program you did at the Northwest Stream Center, you said that we really have nice bear in this state.
We do. You know, and then it goes back to that feeding situation. As long as these bear are not being fed by humans or food sources, and hopefully on some of these busy trails, say for instance, the Mount Si trail is very busy all the time. That's my biggest fear there, is that you'll get a repetition of folks that start, you know, wanting to feed the bear and they'll leave half of a sandwich. And mm-hmm. If you get 20 people that do that every day, you can make a bear dangerous on a trail like that. But as long as we don't do any of those silly activities ourselves as people, then these bears are really safe to be around.
So if you are out hiking and trails and stuff, folks, do not leave food behind. It isn't fair to the bear. And recently we had a couple of cases. One, actually, the first one was on Mount Si, Nick, and I think with a couple of women that were hiking a trail, And they said they turned around and they saw a couple bear heads pop up and then pop back down. And then they walked a ways and turned around and there's a couple bears looking at them again. And so they felt that they were being stalked and hunted. And so they ran off the trail into the woods to try to get away from the bear. And they got lost and had to be rescued. So in a situation like that, what do you think, you know, I mean, what's the right thing to do? And they were black bear apparently. Were they stalking these women and going to have them for lunch?
Well, I looked up as much information on that Mount Si event with these ladies that I could find.
Mm-hmm.
And a few key points that I brought away from it were that, one, they were hiking before sunrise, so at dark. Which isn't always the best idea to go by yourself in the woods in the dark. And then they also left the trail before they saw the bears, from the information I could find, because they were avoiding icy spots on the trail and walking back to the woods. And that's when they bumped into these bears. So these bears were moving around and using this area in the dark, which is a great sign, because it shows them in a busy area with a lot of human activities, such as on Mount Si. They're trying to utilize that habitat still, but they're doing it at times in order to avoid contact with humans.
Uh-huh.
It's very normal for bears to be out during the daytime,
uh-huh.
but if there's a lot of people around, they'll be out a lot more at night, and that's just an effort for them to avoid us because they know we're so dangerous. But those ladies left the trail to avoid those icy spots, so they're in the dark. You know, and they were hiking up, I believe, to watch the sunrise. So it's probably just getting a little bit light. So they're in the dark, and they even got off the trail. So these bears were trying to avoid people by the time of day, and they were trying to avoid people because they weren't actually even on the trail at that point, it doesn't sound like. Those bears, to me, I was relieved to hear that. It sounds like those bears were really safe, and it was probably just an accidental encounter. But the thing sounds like they did that. The absolutely wrong thing you can take home is never run away.
Never run away.
Never run from a bear or a mountain lion or probably, you know, even any predator. If you ever go on safari in Africa, don't run. It just elicits the predatory instinct.
It triggers predators. That chase instinct, and often the chase pounce and sometimes kill, but you trigger it by running away, right?
That's right. So with our black bears, it's really easy. All you want to do is avoid them. If you see a black bear on the trail, or, you know, making noise is a good thing. Talk with your friends, sing songs. If you're especially in a place where you have short sight distances, if the trail is brushy and curvy and you can't see very far, then just make some noise and, you know, laugh, tell jokes, whatever you're doing. And if those bears hear you coming, our bears in Washington always just move off and get out of your way. They give you a fair space if you give them the warning and the chance to get out of the way. Obviously, the real dangerous situation that you can do is if you get between a mama bear and her cubs. So making that noise, especially when the cubs are small, from this time of year till, you know, through the summer, you're just giving them that warning, because it takes the mama bear sometimes a little bit of extra time to get those cubs moved off. But they're usually our female bears. The mothers are pretty smart, and they're already working hard to avoid places where they know they encounter people with their cubs. So the instances of this happening are so rare already, because they're such smart animals, and they're already working hard to avoid these conflicts themselves.
Now, when these news reports aired on television, a few weeks ago, the advice that was given is that, you know, gee, if you see bears, you should stand up and get as tall and as big as you can and make lots of noise and threaten the bears. But at the program you did at the Northwest Stream Center, that sounded like not a good thing to do.
Well, it depends. It can be. It's important to know what species of bear you're dealing with. Of course, if you're in the Cascades, we essentially just have black bears. So you can be a little bit more aggressive with a black bear, but, you know, if there's a bear with a sow with cubs, a female with cubs, then, you know, that aggression can look more like a threat. So the best thing is always face the animal and don't run. And I like to just tell folks, just try to give them space. If the bear with its cubs, say, or a bear has a hard time getting off the trail or doesn't want to leave a specific spot, then it's inc- incumbent on us that we should go around the bear and give it a good wide berth, you know, maybe 100 yards circle around that bear. Because it may have some reason it's staying there. It may have a food source that's decided it needs to defend and it really needs, or it has a cub in the woods or stuck up in a tree that it set its cubs up in a tree and you don't realize they're there. But a lot of times these mothers give just a quick little signal to their cubs and they run way up these trees and the mother doesn't want to leave that tree that these cubs are up in for safety. So if that's the case, then you can understand the mother's concern for those cubs, and if she doesn't want to leave that area and move off, then if we just walk around her, chances are by the time we come back, she's going to have her cubs and be long gone. So
Yeah, no, we've got to kind of streamline things because we're going to run over, which is okay. We can do that. When you said you need to be sure what species you're dealing with, because I think you said in the program that you can get away with, you know, making noise and acting big sometimes with the black bear, but you really don't want to do that with grizzlies.
That's right. We do have a grizzly bear population in the northeast part of the state in the Selkirks, and there is talk about reintroducing them into the Cascades at some point in time, although I'm sure that's years and years off with the politics involved in that. But it is important to tell the species apart. Grizzly bears will view us as another kind of bear typically, and if we get too close to them and invade their personal space, they'll kind of believe that the only reason we're there is to attack them or be a threat to them. So they'll defend themselves that way out of fear because they figure you're an imminent threat and attack to them. So you really want to give them space and identify the species before you start being threatening towards one or the other. And they're somewhat difficult to tell apart down here in the inland northwest. So they have overlapping colors and sizes, and you need to take some time and get to know them. But in the Cascades, it's really a non-issue right now if you're out hiking and enjoying the Cascades. The only really place that you need to be concerned about is the very northeast corner of the state.
All right. So the takeaway here for everyone is know that the bear and the mountain lion in our area are really, really pretty safe. And so there isn't reason for big panic, but you do want to make noise. Don't leave food behind. Make noise when you're going. Sing, talk, laugh, because if they can hear you, they're going to avoid you. If you do see them, remain calm. Breathe. There's no reason to panic. And like Nick said, you said, face them and slowly back away or allow them the time to move away. Is
That's
that
exactly
correct?
Right.
All right. And the other thing that I got from the program was, you know, bears are not stupid. We've heard how smart they are. They have ape-like intelligence. And when you're out using trails, well, keep in mind, wildlife use the trails too. So sometimes it's just a coincidence that, you know, you're ending there together. And I did talk to Chris, the other officer that was there at the program, and he kind of works that Mount Si area, and he suspected these bears might have just been adolescent too, a little curious, so they'd pop up and take a look. But, you know, they're not after you. And then the other thing I wanted to say before we get to the 5Ks and the fundraisers coming up is you said it is a good idea to carry bear spray, right?
Yeah, if you're concerned and you want to take some extra measures for safety, bear spray is very effective in a bear encounter where sometimes there are accidents. We get too close and force an issue and actually come face to face with a bear. If you get in that situation, bear spray is very effective and you don't have to worry about the liabilities of a firearm. And actually, in dealing with a bear conflict situation, bear spray is far more effective than if you had a large firearm.
Yeah, because I think you said shooting them, if you don't kill them with that first shot, which is very unlikely, they'll kill you before you have a chance to shoot them again. So bear spray is a lot safer for everybody, and Nick says it really works. And but he also said if you get bear spray, get the little harness so that it's handy. Don't put it in your backpack or something, because if you really get into a bad situation, you need it. You don't have time to go hunting for it. You want it on your belt or, you know, in a shoulder harness. All right, let's see. Before we wrap up, we'll want to stress again that this Carilion Bear Dog program is supported only by public donation. So no state funding or taxpayer money is used with this. So we've got to have a constant supply of funds to keep this program going and to replace retired dogs and add more to the state, because the more Carilion Bear Dogs we have, the safer our bear and mountain lion population is because of the wonderful work they do. And right now you guys are doing some 5K fundraisers. You had one here in the Mill Creek area just recently. Did that one go well?
Yes, we had one here yesterday in Mill Creek, and that was our very first one of the season, the first one we've done in a couple of years, and it was a success. It was great. We had a not a huge turnout, but it was still successful, and a lot of great people came out. And if you're, these 5Ks are really fun, you're more than welcome to bring your dogs and walk or run the race with the dogs and get to interact with us and our dog teams and all the Carilion Bear Dogs. The whole team was there yesterday, and hopefully the whole team will be in the upcoming one, and the next one will be in Wenatchee, and then we have also another one in Spokane. So the Wenatchee one is on April 30th, and you can find all this information online, and the Spokane 5K is on May 7th.
Yep, and we have that up on current events, folks. So go to marthanorwalk.com, click on current events, and look for the 5K fun run supporting the Carilion Bear Dogs. And if you know anybody in Eastern Washington that likes to run and loves our wildlife, tell them they need to spread the word and get everybody out for these 5K fun runs on Wenatchee, April 30th. Spokane, May 7th. Nick, we got to wrap it up, but I'm going to be in touch with you soon. As soon as I can find, Sunday open, let's get you guys in the studio with the dogs and do go in depth with all this stuff. I know you said you can talk about it forever. We need a lot of education, and we really want to support the Carilion Bear Dog program. So I look forward to having you back in the studio again sometime soon, okay?
Thank you, Martha. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about our program and our team.
All right. Well, we're gonna have you back soon or whenever we can arrange it. But because we need this education, especially throughout the summer. There's just going to be more and more human and animal conflicts, and we need to know what to do about it. And we need to start really supporting our Department of Fish and Wildlife in this phenomenal Carilion Bear Dog program. So, Nick York, thank you so much for joining us. Can't wait till next time. And you have an awesome day. Okay.
Thank you too, Martha.
Okay. Bye bye. All right, we're officially now closing hour number two, firing up hour number three, and where we're going. Oh, we're going to Everett. We're going to talk ARF. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.